Today on Seculo, desperate new calls for Biden to drop out of 2024 election by the left.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Seculo. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We go first to the left. Nate Silver urging Biden to reassure voters or stand down. Stop with the easy stuff, Logan. Actually go and reassure voters or become a hero and get out of the race.
Yeah, so Nate Silver, if you don't know, he's sort of one of those guys with the big, usually makes big predictions over numbers. What's going to happen. A lot of numbers, a lot of data-driven analysis of how elections will go to some mixed results more recently. And he's even admitted that the world has changed so much that even some of his tried and true methods have certainly shifted. But he went out there, made some statements, essentially what we've heard from, honestly, Democrat and Republican, but mainly Democrat, especially sort of that moderate Democrat, saying it is time for Joe Biden to read the writing on the wall and let somebody else come in. But Jordan, it feels like it's getting a little too late in the game for that.
I mean, it does. Every single day it's getting a little too late. He said that Biden needs to reassure the American public that he's capable of handling public appearances that aren't on easy mode. Can I get you to call in on this, folks? 1-800-684-3110. Do you think President Biden is able to handle these public appearances that aren't on easy mode? Logan, I'm not sure he's handling easy mode very well.
No, I mean, we were watching clips yesterday coming out of the helicopter, trying to make statements, again, not necessarily giving bad answers. And somewhat I feel for the fact that the guy has worked his entire life to become the president of the United States.
Yeah, and we're telling him to go.
And now everyone, including his own side, is saying, you got to stop. Look, I understand why. I don't think he's the right fit for the presidency. I do think his age is showing, but I do feel for him a little bit, being the leader of the free world and being told, and a guy who is representing, sadly, half the country at this point, saying, you got to go, and his own party's own people saying it's time. But again, I don't think that's going to happen. He's not going to go down easy. He's not just going to say, I'm out here. I think
there were moments when I thought it could happen.
Yeah.
You don't think it'll happen.
Pending an emergency situation. That's what I said with Trump, too. Pending any kind of health situation, if I'm him, why would I? I don't get it. Maybe for the betterment of the country, if you will, sure, that would be great, but that's not how politicians think. That's not how Washington, D.C. thinks. They think for the betterment of themselves, and himself says, why would I not? Unless he had gone out ahead of time and just said, I'm just going to do one term. I know I saw Bob Costas or someone came out and said he should have run on being a one-term president. Was Bob Costas that right? I'm not sure.
Good. I don't know if that's a good strategy or not.
Yeah, well, he didn't, clearly. Right. So, that's not how it went. And now we're kind of catching up with the fact that the guy seems to have so much push behind him to get out of the way that I think his own ego, understandably so, he's the president of the United States, says, I don't think so. I'm not going anywhere. But then you have Nate Silver, and I think he can try to turn around and say, Nate Silver, well, you haven't been right for the last decade, so maybe you need stop too.
That's true. Ezra Klein, a columnist and podcaster for the New York Times, called on President Biden to end his White House bid and go out as a hero, as if suddenly if Joe Biden is not the candidate, that they are the Democrat, unnamed Democrat, Logan, definitely wins. And I don't know if that's true.
Yeah,
who is that unnamed Democrat Gavin Newsom?
That's the thing.
People are beating up Newsom on California every single day.
People have said Newsom. Obviously, there's been the Michelle Obama talks. And we had a discussion about Michelle Obama as someone who has to really make a calculated decision. Do you risk, in the most partisan time in modern history, do you risk essentially the Obama legacy, which, like him or not, and I assume most of our audience was not of Obama voters, probably did not like him. You cannot say the guy didn't go down as probably the most popular president in our lifetime.
Sure.
So do you risk having your legacy tarnished when right now you're living pretty well, you're making a good living, you don't have to do, you're not running the country. And if I'm Michelle Obama, I go, no.
Don't want to hope he is Donald Trump?
Right. I just don't see that being in the cards. I could be wrong, and if it is, I do think, game on. It will be a very interesting time because they are some of the most popular.
We got new polls
people
in South Carolina. Donald Trump up to about 65% in Nikki Haley's home state, Logan. Yeah. She's running about 35%. She's at a sweet tea stop right now.
All right.
Always good to be a little sweet tea stop in South Carolina.
We're about to go to break. Stay tuned if you're watching online. We got something special for you.
calls too, 1-800-684-3110. The question is this. Do you think that President Biden can actually get out of easy mode? I don't know, Logan, that he can even handle easy mode. I mean, every time when he's in easy mode, he says something that is not correct. I mean, they are... We're going to talk to Tulsi Gabbard about this, you know, talking about NATO, talking about the funding of NATO. Those are real intense subjects that President Trump's talking about, that Tulsi Gabbard's talking about. They're talking when they're talking about Joe Biden, they're talking about, like, you know, can he get through a event without a major gaffe? And I think last week when we saw him come out, try and act tough after that report from the special counsel, it was a disaster, and the disaster has just continued to kind of ball up. I think a lot of focus is going to be on South Carolina, Nikki Haley, but right now, Donald Trump is double-digit lead in that race.
Look, I haven't seen a lot of Trump's. We're here in Nashville. I haven't seen a lot of Trump signs. I've seen a lot of signs in general. Today, on the way in, though, randomly, Nikki Haley signs. I had to go some back roads today because of traffic, and I saw some Nikki Haley, you know, signs in the front yard of people, which actually reminded me that we are a Super Tuesday state that's coming up in a couple weeks, because I think a lot of people
already vote.
Early voting's open, but you're hearing nothing about it. I don't see anyone talking about early voting. I don't see it really becoming a standout here, but that did kind of remind me of, oh yeah, that's coming up in a couple weeks, but because we've all been kind of already predisposed to who the winners will be, and that you will have a Biden-Trump rematch. But truth be told, you never know what can happen, and if you actually have some boots on the ground, then maybe there could be some momentum. I don't see it happening here. I mean, look, you have the National Religious Broadcasters Convention this week. President Trump is speaking. They invited Nikki Haley. She declined. I feel like that says a lot. She declined, according to the press.
Do you think that's because of the abortion comment?
I just think they probably aren't going to spend the money to come to Tennessee. I mean, I think that's probably what it is. It's not a bunch of locals coming to a convention. I don't think she was going to get booed out of the building. I don't think that it's that way. I mean, look, the stance she's taken on life, and now the stance that Donald Trump has taken on life, not that far apart.
Yeah.
Obviously, you have a record of overturning Roe that really helps you. So that's a pretty big one to do. But they both kind of taken similar stances. So we'll see if that plays out or has any sort of impact on the election. But I don't know. I think with President Biden, it's now something that can't be ignored. You can't ignore the fact that he's coming out and making these sort of gaffe-ridden remarks. Yeah. And they're not silly, kind of like they used to be. I'd say if you go to 2016 or you go to 2020, really, you go to 2020, the Biden campaign, the gaffes he were making were more, like I said, they're more comedically. They're more George W. Bush. A word slipped out to this word and this word.
Yeah.
Now it's statements. It's people. It's mistaking a lot of things going on. So much so, like I said, you have Democrats coming out, whether that is Bill Maher. Obviously, you know him. You have, like I said, I think Bob Costas, whoever it was on that. Yeah, I believe it was Bob Costas. Or because I watched it was an interesting thing where he said, this should not be where we're at right now.
We shouldn't have
Jon Stewart did a whole thing last week on it, on his first Daily Show back, about how, I mean, he didn't want either of them, but how President Biden is just too old for this. You are seeing that over and over and over continually. We do have a phone call. Let's go ahead and take a call. Let's go to Tim, who's calling on line one in Maryland. You're on the air.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Okay, here's my point.
All right.
If Biden's not going to be the nominee, okay, they're going to put somebody else there. Whoever that may be can simply say, hey, that was Biden. That's not me. That's not my policies.
To a point.
And all the arguments that the conservatives have brought up about Biden, 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 just kind of go away in one sentence.
Tim, you bring up a good point in the sense that they can say, look, we replaced him. We agree.
Yeah, you can say that. Are they going to really say, I don't support those policies? Because they do. I mean, the thing is, you know, when Mayorkas got impeached, they didn't just run and say, you know what, let's get rid of Mayorkas. He is not looking good for us. They said, let's stand with Mayorkas. Let's rally around Mayorkas. So what are you going to say as a Democrat? Are you really going to do something different on the border? Or are you just going to sound tougher, but actually do the same thing as Joe Biden, which is nothing? And I think that's the problem. Logan, we'll take calls, 1-800-684-3110. I do want to put in Ezra Klein saying, I mean, I think that these journalists, they're always begging, you're hoping for the savior moment. And certainly he is here. And I mean, we don't have that much time. Yep. There's just not that much time for this moment to occur. Take a listen to Bite 11.
So yes, I think Biden, as painful as this is, should find his way to stepping down as a hero. That the party should help him find his way to that, to being the thing that he said he would be in 2020, the bridge to the next generation of Democrats. And then I think Democrats should meet in August at the convention to do what political parties have done at conventions so many times before. Organize victory.
Okay. In our lifetime, has that happened? Or in maybe the last 100 years?
I think, was it Kennedy? Or was it Ted Kennedy who kind of made a move?
He tried to primary Jimmy Carter.
I mean, yeah.
Again, that was before our lifetime, but I just know that from history.
Yeah.
But it didn't work.
In our
lifetime? So saying like, this happened many times over and over again. Let's let him go out a hero. Now, I do think there are ways to take a victory tour, if you will, even if you disagree with him. You know, if anything I've learned from the world of professional wrestling, there are ways to write and script this to where he can have a nice and pleasant, last hurrah, if you will. But that is simply, look, we've seen President Biden. We've seen his attitude. We've seen the way he snaps. We've seen the way he talks to reporters. We've seen the way he talks to people. That is not in his DNA. His DNA does not say, give up and take a victory lap. I really don't believe it. As much as I was hopeful that we'd have two brand new candidates and we'd have something fresh and interesting this go around, it wasn't going to happen, and it's not going to happen pending any sort of medical emergency. Take that out of it, which I think you have to take that out of it.
And listen, that could be that,
for anyone.
From 80 to 40 to 20.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. That could just happen. It's more likely if you're in your 80s. I mean, and if you're in your late 70s.
So Donald Trump would be 82 when he's done, but I heard something interesting this morning, Logan. That was this. When people see Donald Trump, they don't see the same age as Joe Biden.
Right.
So it's not so much the number. Because people are living older. They are working older.
Yeah.
You know, we're not all done at 60 now like it used to. So it's not just the number. It's the kind of like vitality.
I just remember us growing up being like, Ronald Reagan, he was such an old president.
Well, these guys would be like that.
Yeah, if not older. They are older. Yeah, they're the oldest president. Joe Biden, I believe, is the oldest current president.
Is he already the oldest current?
He's in his 80s, right?
No.
Close.
Is he 80?
Joe Biden's 81, Jordan. Yes, he's 81 years old.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Yes, I'm sure.
They just don't celebrate it.
Well, yeah, they don't. They don't talk about it. He had an 80th birthday party, I think. Did he not?
I don't know.
81 went by. We share very similar.
Ice cream at the beach.
Yeah, I don't know. Donald Trump is 77. So
big difference there, actually.
We'll be 78 before he becomes president.
Yeah, so he'll be 82 at the end.
I'd say both of them. That's not young.
Similar.
That's not a young man.
I don't think in our country we want young.
No.
Young. I mean, I used to think that like 40 plus, you weren't young anymore.
Yeah.
Now I'm starting to think, are we a country where it's like 55 plus?
I think 50s. I think early 50s.
Because like musicians are still 40 and like...
It's because it's all of our music is now the oldies. I mean, I think that's why. That's why us just aging than it is anything. But no, I do look at that and go, what's probably the proper age? It depends if you want someone with business experience, you want someone with political experience. What do you want out of your president?
Yeah, like how much experience?
And you want them to have the gravitas to go overseas and to assert some kind of authority and respect. And that's a little harder when you're in your late 30s, early 40s. Obama may have been like the exception to the rule. But other than him.
But he was an unbelievable orator.
Yes. So
whether you like him or not, yeah, I'll always say that.
Yeah. And that's what I was saying here. And I do think our caller talked about, I think Michelle Obama decides to run. That is a very difficult road for conservatives.
Oh, yeah, but...
I don't want to say insurmountable, but almost insurmountable.
I think it's a difficult road for her.
Yeah, I think she...
Because she has to run against Donald Trump, who's going to be really nasty.
Yeah. If I was her, I wouldn't do it.
Knowing that Donald Trump could only do 4 more years.
Well, that and just going, I just don't know if I want to be the president. Like, again, you go down with the legacy of the Obamas being a pretty... not from us and not from a conservative point of view, but from a historical point of view. He will go down... He will go down as one of the most popular presidents of our life, and you can't take that away from him. You can take that away from him if you become president now in the most
divided time in our history, the roughest time since the Civil War.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, again, wasn't there, so I'm not sure how different it felt, but it feels closer to that than ever. Hey, phone lines are open. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. We got a minute till we get to break, and also coming up in the next segment, We have one of your friends.
Yeah, one of my buddies who is running for Attorney General in West Virginia. Right now, he is the state auditor in West Virginia. And we were watching the U.S. Supreme Court very closely this week on two things. One, what will happen on Trump immunity and on filings there, but also on the 14th Amendment case that we are waiting any day, any moment for that case out of Colorado to be decided. Ultimately, we hope, decided so that it's clear Donald Trump will be on the ballot and your vote for Donald Trump will count, especially as so many Super Tuesday voters are already voting as we speak. But there have been some bizarre moves by Republicans. And I think, I know JB wants to come on to make sure we don't go over the top before we get these cases out. And I think, again, he's running for Attorney General in West Virginia. He'll be joining us. We get back.
All right, be right back.
To Secchio, as Logan said, a good friend of ours and someone I went to college with, he's worked at the ACLJ before. We've certainly supported him in his political career as he's moved up inside his home state of West Virginia as a delegate, as a state auditor, now running to be Attorney General. JB McCuskey is joining us now from West Virginia. JB, great to have you on the broadcast. I talked to you a lot, buddy, but it's good to have you on the show.
Good to see you, my brother.
You know, let me ask you, JP, right away, and just make sure your connection is good there. We are awaiting this U.S. Supreme Court decision from on the 14th Amendment. We represent, actually, the West Virginia Republican Party. We represent, in the case, the Colorado Republican Party, to make sure that the Colorado Republican Party and other states, you're able to vote for Donald Trump, and that these groups like Crew and others, Democrat, liberal groups, aren't able to take Donald Trump off the ballot on their own, you know, without any kind of criminal process. And we worked through all these issues. Is the 14th Amendment an issue that is something that is, again, self-executing? Is the 14th Amendment an issue that's something that, again, Congress has to take action on? But then you had some Republicans in your own state try to say, well, let's just take Joe Biden off. And I think we wanted to have you on right now to say, this is not the strategy we supported at the U.S. Supreme Court, nor is that the strategy we want to support or see. We want to win this at the Supreme Court and then win this at the election.
Yeah, so I think what you are describing is people who are probably well-meaning, but are using Donald Trump and this election as a way for them to generate their own publicity, right? And at the end of the day, we all have to be pulling this rope the same way. And we do not want secretaries of state to have the ability to pull candidates off the ballot without any real basis. And to pull Joe Biden off the ballot, number one, is foolish because Trump's going to win West Virginia 85-15 or 90-10, right? And so we have to be very strategic and we have to follow the lead of great lawyers like you and your dad. And we were so proud to have you guys in here to protect the president's Trump's base on our ballot, not only here, but in the entire country, but also our Attorney General, Patrick Morrissey, who has taken a very strong leadership role amongst our attorneys generals in this country, working with you at the Supreme Court on a cohesive strategy that is designed to keep President Trump on the ballot in all 50 states.
Yeah, I mean, the goal here, JB, obviously, you are trying to move up from state auditor to Attorney General. And I always say that you're someone who serves selflessly. I mean, because you take on these jobs and a lot of people in these states, again, people may not even know what those positions do. And I think you've done an awesome job of actually going around your state. I see what you're doing on Facebook every single day. You're at multiple events. You're helping people get jobs out of college. And I think that's awesome. More, again, just accountability at the local level. Take that to the Attorney General's office where you can continue what is a law enforcement job too, as a state auditor into the Attorney General spot. But this idea of the politics surrounding this, I know it's, it gets nasty in the primaries, but ultimately here, like you said, we know that in West Virginia, a conservative message is going to beat Joe Biden day after day. I mean, Joe Manchin won't even endorse Joe Biden right now. And he says, he's got plenty of time to do it. Maybe he won't even do it. Maybe he's just retiring and he's out of it. Like, as you said, because of the margin of victory will be so large. But we do have to make sure that bad decisions aren't made that sound like they should be fun. Oh, you know what? If they're going to ban Donald Trump, let's ban Joe Biden. We should not fall for that trap.
Well, and I think what you're talking about is an idea of selfless service, right? And so when you are a servant, you have to look past what is expedient for your personal campaign, and you have to look for what's the best for America. And I'm proud to endorse President Trump. He's our guy here in West Virginia. He's the most popular president probably in the history of our state, and he's done so much to make our state better. But people will try to use supporting him as a way to get elected to a smaller race. At the end of the day, getting him elected is the most important thing for our country. And people who quickly and without a full grasp of the facts and the law just try to glom on to what is an expedient legal idea can really do more harm than good. And we have to make sure that we are all looking at it through that lens. And that is, you know, we have wars in Israel. We have wars in the Ukraine. We have upcoming intense battles with China and with Russia. And you name the international discord, that we need a strong American leader to ensure that our prosperity continues and that our security is where it is. And we can't allow petty political squabbles and the interests of quick and quick publicity in a small state primary to go beyond what is the ultimate goal here, and that's to make sure that what America remains the greatest country on the face of the earth.
I mean, we hope this week we get that decision. Hope we got it today. We didn't, but hope we get it this week. That the Supreme Court makes it clear that these secretaries of states can't just willy nilly remove a presidential candidate who has qualified for the ballot to remove them from the primary ballot. I mean, we got people on Super Tuesday states, JB, they're voting right now in Tennessee. They again, there's moves to say, well, could you take them off the ballot? Places like that. I mean, people have been voting. I think since until the 27th they get to vote. But I want to go back to something you said too, because I think on this issue it was great. You put a stop to it. I think voters understand why it may sound fun to hit Biden that way. And you know what? Politically, hit them all you want that way, but don't follow their bad legislative path. But let me talk to you about the issues. What are West Virginians? Because we were talking a lot of truckers yesterday. They were talking about what was happening in New York and the fact that they were being overtaxed and just regulated to bring goods into New York. When you are, and I see it all over your social media, you are out all day, every day, all over the state of West Virginia in very different places. You were in a sugar shack selling molasses yesterday, and you know, in a bigger town, talking about criminal issues and some of the legal issues towns are facing. What are the top two issues West Virginians are concerned about?
Top two issues are border security, ensuring that we are maintaining an actual border in the South. That is a huge deal for the drug crisis. It's a huge deal for our workforce, and it's a huge deal morally as we try to defend who our country is. And I would say the second biggest issue is making sure that this country is energy independent and that we are free as West Virginians to mine our coal, to harvest our trees and to drill our gas, to make sure that this country leads the world in low cost, effective energy policy. And that begins, middles, and ends with our West Virginia coal and West Virginia natural gas. And there are a group of people in Washington who do not believe that our lifestyle or our economy matters, and they would much rather push green, woke energy than cost-effective, manufacturing-friendly coal and natural gas.
JB, it's always great to see you on here and talk to you regularly. I encourage people to check out your campaign. Again, if you're in West Virginia or outside West Virginia, JB is state auditor. He's running for a West Virginia attorney general. He pointed this issue out, which I thought was so important as we await that Supreme Court decision this week. JB, thanks for taking the time to talk to our audience today on the broadcast, and we hope you have great success out on the campaign trail in the next couple months.
I will join you and all your listeners in praying for a great Supreme Court decision to come out the next couple days.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, JB. Folks, we'll be right back on Secular. Second half hour coming up. Tulsi Gabbard, part of the Secular team, will be joining us as well. We'll be talking about NATO, talking about the UN, and more. We get back on Secular.
Keep keeping you informed and engaged now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome to Seculo, folks. Second half hour coming up. Logan, 1-800-64-3110. Right. We were talking to our good friend, Jamie McCuskey, who I've known since I was 18 years old,
yeah.
George Washington University. But he has been working a long time, really, throughout the hard work of state politics, moving up the system from a state delegate to state auditor. Some of these kind of positions that I think are the least thanked positions, but, you know, big budgets, big staffs. They're making sure that people are...
Talking about the issues that matter to their states, which is always nice to hear. It's always nice to hear people who are actually representing.
You know, we're hearing over and over, too. The border.
Yeah.
And, you know, in West Virginia, one of the issues with the border we know, of course, is the drug issue.
Yeah, of course. It's one of the top states, sadly, for a lot of those issues. So.
And it has been.
Yeah.
And I think that
historically,
it's only gotten worse. I mean, the fentanyl has only made it worse.
Yeah, we actually have a call from West Virginia. Maybe we should go ahead and take
Let's go.
Let's go to Harry. Harry in West Virginia. You're on the air. Full West Virginia heavy today. You're on the air.
Yes, you picked a good state.
All right.
My comment is about Michelle Obama. I believe that she would run to save the party. She doesn't want to stay in there. Like you said, it would damage her legacy. But I would worry about who her vice president would be, because after she won, she very likely would, since she doesn't like being under the microscope, she would resign, saying health or not enough time for the family or whatever. And then her vice president would become the new president.
You know, that's the question, Harry. Is Kamala everyone's vice president? If Biden drops out,
so.
You have a brand new ticket? You have a brand new ticket? I'm asking the question.
I think if you push Biden out, you push that whole
team
out.
The whole team goes goodbye.
KGP, God. Okay, she has not been helpful.
No.
I mean, she has. Put Joe Biden, whoever was on the team that decided that night that Robert Hur's report went out and decided to put Joe Biden out to all those reporters who were going to start screaming,
yeah.
And they thought he was going to look cool and tough. I think since that moment, Joe Biden has lost the election.
It was tough. That was a moment.
That was like the moment.
And then, look,
he forgot where he was.
Jon Stewart and The Daily Show took a lot of heat, actually, for spending an entire episode pretty much saying, this was the turning point.
What were they doing?
This was the turning point where everyone said, what is this? What are we seeing? And I think that's true for a lot of people.
You didn't have to. You didn't have to do it. First of all, people don't watch the news like they think they do. People don't live and die by what KGP says on Fox News.
I think a lot of,
they could have caught their breath.
I think a lot of Democratic voters, and some Republican voters as well, they're not focused on 24-hour news.
Was it a Friday?
I don't remember exactly.
Was it Thursday or Friday?
It was headed towards the end of the week, for sure.
And I feel like it was rushed out, and they told the reporters, scream your questions out, which they never do with Biden.
Yeah.
And he was,
it felt
totally
like he was
lost.
Overwhelmed. Yeah. Which, I mean, honestly, probably you all would be in that room.
Listen, most people couldn't do what these people do. And as they get older, it gets that much harder for them to do what they do. But I think, if you're going to go in there with a new team, first of all, that better happen very soon, Logan. I mean,
the clock is running out.
Yes.
They
Donald
even
Trump
keep talking
and
about
the gold
it.
Shoes are running out. They're running out the clock. Now, are you going? We talked about it yesterday. Are you going for the gold shoes in July?
Yeah.
The red, which are the victory in
I don't know if I'll be picking those up.
Or you're the white presidential with white and gold, which are more the sock fit.
I don't know which one I'll be picking up or if I'll be picking up any of them. I saw one of the sneaker heads I follow, one of them, the top ones, he was like, he had one. He was like, they are ugly. he's like, but now they go for 10 grand. So, you know.
They go for 10 grand already?
That's, they're landing around 5 or 6. I'd say 10 was probably the highest.
But you could get them.
You can get them at the secondary market, yeah.
No, you can order.
Oh, the gold ones?
The gold.
Oh,
you'll probably get it in August.
That's the thing. I can't take that. I don't have the patience for that. Hey, coming up next segment is Tulsi Gabbard making some news this morning. So we're going to discuss some of that with her. It'll be a pretty interesting
piece. He's got Kid Rock. He's going to be rocking a pair of gold.
Probably. Yeah, probably. I think they probably held one back for him. Phone lines are open as well. We'll take some of your calls here at the end of the show. 1-800-684-3110. Again, coming up next segment, Tulsi Gabbard going to be talking about some of the news she made this morning. I woke up, checked X. Number 3 trending thing in the country is Tulsi Gabbard. So we'll discuss that coming up. We'll be right back. go through all my social media platforms. I opened up X. There you go. The top two or three things on my trending was our guest now and contributor to the to Seculo is Tulsi Gabbard. So it's a pretty exciting morning to wake up and see this sort of breaking news, but also, Jordan, a topic that we feel like we need to bring attention to. And clearly, based on the amount of retweets that I was seeing, or reposts now, I can't say tweets, reposts, there were some big things happening.
So, Tulsi, I think that you're unique to be able to discuss this topic and, of course, to respond to what President Trump has talked about as well, because there's all these attacks that, we can't question NATO. We can't question the funding of NATO. We can't question, would these countries actually do what they say they were going to do in Article 5? Would they actually send their sons and daughters, as you said, and their the men and women who serve in their country's militaries to defend these other countries? Or would they just expect the United States to do it like maybe we've done in the past? We're kind of showing we do in Ukraine right now, even though it's not so much soldiers, but it's all this military equipment. We're not really sure exactly what the end goal is there. But your statement alone, I mean, are you surprised that making a statement like that makes such big news that, hey, we need to get control of NATO to make sure that if these countries want to be in this group with us, that we're all paying our fair share?
Jordan, it doesn't surprise me because this is the way that the permanent Washington establishment has responded for so long towards anyone who dares to even ask the question, some pretty important questions about what is the purpose of NATO in this day and age? What are we, the American people, gaining from our membership in NATO? Does it serve our national security interests? And if so, how? And if it does, then how much are we, the American people, willing to expend towards that membership, both in our taxpayer dollars and potentially the lives of my brothers and sisters in uniform? And so for Donald Trump to force this question and force these NATO countries and members to be confronted with the reality of how many of them, frankly, are not, They don't feel it is important enough to meet the bare minimum standard of payment towards NATO, then why should we, frankly? And I know the American people are sick and tired of being the ones who are footing the bill when these other countries don't feel that the threats are important enough for themselves to make those investments, both in their own taxpayer dollars and in the lives of their young men and women. These are serious questions, and I think it's a very clear statement that we should all pay attention to see how. I'm sorry, there's something going on with my camera here.
Yeah, we do that. All right, there we go. I think we got you back.
There you go.
I just want to say that we should all pay attention to how quickly the Hillary Clintons and Mitt Romneys of the world are trying to shut down any discussion around this issue. Anytime they don't want us to ask questions, we know that they are afraid and that there is something they're trying to hide.
You know what it feels like, Tulsi? It feels like they can't tell us what we're doing in Ukraine. Like, I was pleased to see that finally the U.S. didn't make the move at the U.N. to ultimately support a resolution that was going to call for a ceasefire in Gaza. But again, they have threatened to do that with Israel. But you know, with Ukraine, it's like, okay, you've had a long time to be able to explain what our goal is, like what is the end game to the American people. And there is no one in Washington, D.C., no one on the right, no one on the left, no one who supports the war, who can give us a clear message for a goal for to ultimately end this conflict that will also benefit the United States of America and the American people.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, the definition of quote unquote winning changes drastically depending on who you're talking to and depending on the day of the week. I happened to be at a dinner with some folks a few days ago where one of the people at the dinner disagreed with my position on Ukraine, and she very accusingly said, "Tulsi, so you just want to end the war, don't you?" And I smiled and I said, "Yes, I do. I have friends in Ukraine. I've been to Ukraine many times. I went to Ukraine for the first time during my R&R of my deployment to Iraq. I went to a spiritual and meditation retreat in Crimea. I have been very concerned for their safety and the safety and the lives of the Ukrainian people, which is why from the very beginning, I have been advocating for negotiations and a peaceful resolution to this war, something that now it's been well over a year. Even our own military leaders are saying the only way this thing ends is through some kind of negotiation to reach a peace treaty. When this woman asked me this question, "You just want to end the war?" And I said, "Yes, I do. Don't you want to prevent more innocent lives from being lost?" And she said, "Well, I just don't want Putin to win." And that right there is the problem. Rather than leaders and decision makers here in our own country thinking about what is the right course of action to take based on what is in the best interest of the American people and our own national security, they are in this place where they say, "Well, we just don't want Putin to win," but they don't really know how to define what that is. And the goalpost keeps moving, but they are more than happy to continue to fuel this proxy war with Russia, sacrificing more and more Ukrainian lives and spending billions more that is going directly into the pockets of the military-industrial complex. And once again, as you said, none of them being able to answer the question very clearly about how this serves the national security interests of the United States. And don't pay attention to those who are saying, "Well, we've got to stop them over there before they come over and invade us here." Our own intelligence agency said Russia was going to take Kyiv, what was it, within 48 hours or certainly within a week. They still haven't taken Kyiv. They were not in and are not in a position to take Kyiv, what to speak of invade all of Europe and the United States. So let's be real, be very clear-eyed about what we are facing and ask the tough questions that Donald Trump is forcing on leaders in our country and the American people.
I still get the question from my daughter. My daughter is a first grader. She still asks me in the car occasionally, just every once in a while checking in, "Dad, is there still that war going on in Ukraine and Russia?" She knows we do work in these places. I mean, she doesn't know much more about it than that, but it's like, and she's like, "Why?" And you know what? I don't have a great answer.
Yeah. I think a lot of people have.
Do you, Logan? I mean, when you say that, it's like, it's your kids. Why are we still funding this?
I think at this point, I think that's the difference, is there is that conversation, we've had this before, where they get stuck in a cycle where you go, it is okay to say, yes, the beginning of this, you were supportive of it. We understood what the mission was, the goal. And eventually you get to the point where you are a year, 2 years, 3 years in, and does start to go, what happened here? Why are we at this point? And Tulsi, I wanted to kind of reframe it before we wrap up, back to sort of the conversation around NATO. You know, you obviously have seen a lot of what's happened with President Trump over the weekend, and you had Hillary Clinton coming out making statements. You've obviously been on, dealt with that before, let's just say, and you know what that can mean. But what if NATO members could come into compliance? Do you think at this point as an organization, is this something we should be considering still supporting?
I think this is a very real conversation the American people need to have. And the fact that people like Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden don't want us to have this conversation should make us even more eager to force the question on the American people and our representatives in our government. This kind of analysis has not happened largely because the warmongers in Washington won't allow it. Anytime anyone asks, "Well, what is the relevance of NATO to our national security today? We know why it was formed originally, and you look through the history of NATO and how the world has changed, and yet NATO really hasn't changed and hasn't asked themselves this question about what their mission is. What's wrong with having the conversation?" When Hillary Clinton and others like her respond to people who ask relevant, important questions with smears like "you're a Putin puppet," or "you're a useful idiot," or "you are just doing the bidding of Putin," those aren't substantive responses. There has to be a very real dialogue about the pros and cons and the very real costs that come from any of our foreign policy decisions that we are making.
You know, it sickens me because, again, they're willing to play the politics and work real hard to play the political battles. And you're not only playing and of course, fighting in those political discussions, but Tulsi, I mean, you put your life on the line for the country. You still put your life on the line for this country. You still believe it's worth putting your life on the line for the United States of America. And I think that's why they get so nasty with you, because they don't have anything else to say except for name calling. Because, I mean, what it's easy for you and your supporters to say back, Well, yeah, you're going to call names like that to somebody who actually puts their life on the line for the United States of America. It's why we love having you on this broadcast as part of the Seculo team and as part of these really discussions that the American people want to have, and they're sick and tired of being told they're unpatriotic if they have them. Tulsi Gabbard, thanks for joining us on the show today as part of the Seculo team.
Thank you so much.
All right, folks. Logan, we will come back. We got more. We can take calls. 1-800-684-3110.
Perfect time to call in if you'd like to be on the air. 1-800-684-3110. In this next segment, we'll take as many of your comments and calls as we can. And also, if you have any points based on the discussions we've had, whether that was from JB in West Virginia, whether that is from, obviously, the Nate Silver issue with saying the Biden needs to drop out, we'd love to hear your thoughts. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. And I think, again, from how many different shows can take you from a West Virginia sugar shack to Crimea?
You keep saying that as if analysts should know what that means.
Well, okay, I didn't really know what they were. But I got to guess, because I saw my buddy J.B. McCuskey walking through the snow-covered woods of West Virginia this weekend by maple trees. And you know what it is? West Virginia has more maple trees than any other state.
I didn't know that.
But
fun facts. A
lot of these states that are the original, like 13 states, have the kind of patents on maple syrup, you know? And so the West Virginia producers, though they can sell locally, cannot sell nationally as easily. And so that's something he's going to be looking at. So you got sugar shacks. Then we're talking NATO. Now we're going right to the UN Security Council. I want to go to Andy Economou. Andy, we thought this was actually possible this weekend at the United Nations, at least the U.S. was throwing it out there, that we were going to support a UN resolution to at some point support a ceasefire in Gaza, and specifically the new Israeli IDF focus on Rafah and where Hamas is.
And that did not happen.
Right.
This was at the last minute. Algeria led a resolution that would call for an immediate ceasefire, delivery of aid to the Gaza Strip, Israel's compliance with the orders of the International Court of Justice, and all parties are supposed to respect their obligations under international law. Well, 13 countries voted in favor of Algeria's resolution. The United States vetoed it, and the United Kingdom, Great Britain, abstained and did not vote. So that took care of that resolution, because with the permanent member of the United States vetoing it, the resolution could not pass. The Algerian-led resolution also rejected the forced displacement of Palestinians and demanded the immediate and unconditional release of all hostages. As I said, the United States, through Ambassador Thomas Greenfield, said in a statement this weekend that the U.S. believed the hostage deal that the Biden administration was pushing represented the best opportunity to reunite the hostages and the families and enable a prolonged pause in the fighting. But that, of course, was rejected by the United States, and shows, again, in my view, the support, continued support, reluctantly at times, of the Biden administration in favor of Israel.
I mean, somebody's pushing him to say, you know, throw it out there. Let's see what people say, and then ultimately we'll come in and we'll veto the resolution today. But I feel like what they're putting the pressure on Israel is, we'll do it today. Don't think we're going to be doing this for you in a month.
No, that's true. I mean, you can't count on the Biden administration, and I'm sure that our good friend Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib was not very happy about what happened. She's not going to be happy that her Palestinians are not getting what they want, but she never will be happy.
She wants the from the.
When she called, said she didn't want Biden administration either, right? She said no Joe Biden.
Yeah, no Joe.
That's true too.
Yes, I mean, you can't make her happy.
You can't, unless you just wipe out the Jews from Israel.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that makes her happy.
I'll just say Zionism, bad. What clip did you just pull up here, Will? You want us to play one of these?
No, shit.
Okay, let's listen. Yeah, so let's set that up actually before we do it, because this was yesterday. We talked about this earlier in the month. She specifically said, hey, if you're out here supporting President Biden, as you think most Democrats would, don't, because specifically the war in Israel. Let's take a listen.
It is also important to create a voting block, something that is a bullhorn to say enough is enough. We don't want a country that supports wars and bombs and destruction. We want to support life. We want to stand up for every single life killed in Gaza. We feel completely neglected and just unseen by our government. If you want us to be louder, then come here and vote uncommitted.
I don't know if she's pro-life in that sense, Logan, but she only cares about the life of the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. Certainly, she ignores what happened October 7th by Hamas. That is what the world is starting to do. We all knew that would happen, by the way. We all said, who represent these families, still work with those families. Yeah. After about a week of Israel responding to Hamas, the world will start condemning Israel. The U.S. will have to step in to stop it, and we'll see how long this administration is willing to do so. And they're nervous, Andy, that they're not going to get the votes out, like Rashida Tlaib, like in places like Michigan, if they don't back the Palestinians ultimately before Democrat voters and younger voters head to the polls in November.
That's right. So she comes out and she makes these statements that she supports a country that opposes wars and bombs and destruction. Well, what does Hamas do but support wars and bombs and destruction? I mean, Israel is defending itself, okay? You had an attack that was horrendous on October 7th. They say they support life. In fact, they support death. So Hamas is not a pro-life organization. Is she pro-life now? Is that the question that we ought to be asking? If you wait, it wouldn't be louder. She says, come here and vote uncommitted. Does that mean she's abandoning the Democrats? I don't know what she's going to. There's nothing consistent in what she says, except that she hates Israel.
And I think that that's maybe a calculated decision. They see that this is a talking point that's happening, that people see sort of the anti-Israel, anti-Zionism that is coming out of not just the Democrats, by the way. We are now seeing it from some of the conservative press as well, especially the more, let's say, alternative press in the conservative world is coming out in less support of Israel. And I do think it will not be unlike Ukraine, to where you could see Israel start losing this PR world from both sides. Now, the question is how do we react to that? Or do we see an actual ending, unlike what's been happening? Do we actually see an ending to this current conflict?
Well, Israel has said what they want to see as any. They want to destroy Hamas. Okay, so they have a goal. Yep. Like, what Putin's goal, first goal, like Tulsi said, isn't really doable. It was, they were going to be in, like, taking over Kyiv in, like, 2 days.
Taking back their land.
And so they're still stuck in the same North Donbass region that they were a year and a half ago, fighting with the same fight they've been fighting since they went into Crimea under Obama and Biden. So they're stuck. You don't see the Israelis struck. Now, I think, again, that's a democracy. The Israeli people will also have a lot to say in how long they will continue that conflict. But I think after the atrocities of October 7th won't be forgotten, and they want to make sure that terror group Hamas does not have the capability to carry out an attack like that in Israel ever again.
Yeah, and we'll see what that looks like for the American people and the American voter here in the next few months.
Yeah, and whether it's a top three issue for American voters in November, I don't know. I think that they still generally understand that Israel is our ally and that Hamas is not.
Yeah.
Israel is not asking for our soldiers. They are not asking us to come fight their battles. We work together on technology. Things like the Iron Dome are the same systems that protect our troops.
Right.
We test them out in places like Israel. They're front lines of the war on terror. That's good, too. Those terrorists that want to destroy Israel want to destroy the United States of America even more.
Yep. Hey, we only got 1 minute left. I want to thank everyone who's joined us. We've had a packed show of guests and experts and commentators, but we couldn't do it without you supporting the work of the ACLJ, supporting this broadcast as well. You can do that. Be a part of it. Go to ACLJ.org. As I said, we do have a brand new video up. If you have kids, grandkids who want to know more about how things work in America, we have a channel, Bald Beagle. That's right, like Bald Eagle, but with a B on the front because it's funny and it's for kids. Go to baldbeagle.com or youtube.com/baldbeagle to watch our kids' videos. We just put up a brand new one explaining the primary elections, because if you have kids, that may be something that they are asking you about. It's a real simple, easy to understand explanation of that. We'd get some headier topics as well, and maybe you need to watch them, because sometimes it's a little bit easier to understand when a puppet tells you. So go to baldbeagle.com, take a look at that. Obviously, again, support the work of the ACLJ. Go to aclj.org. Look at the incredible free content we provide there, absolutely at no cost to you. But if you want to support it, if you want it to keep going, you can do that by making your donation. We appreciate that. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Seculo.